Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
Back to Philippians chapter 3. We feed on the milk of the Word. And then as we progress, hopefully we get to the deeper things of Scripture and get to the meat of the Word. But it's a growth process from beginning until the end. And so that's all he's saying. He knew that even the great apostle that he was, he did not suddenly have it all. And of course, after you study the writings of Paul and his life, we realize that his early letters, which I've referred to a program or two back, of Romans and Galatians and Corinthians, they did not have these deeper doctrines that we find in these later epistles, which I feel he probably picked up in that year and a half while he was in prison in Caesarea, when most people would think it was wasted years. But I don't think they were wasted at all. I think while he was languishing there in prison, waiting to go to Rome, the Holy Spirit unloaded all these truths on him so that when he gets to that prison experience, he's ready to start unfolding these prison epistles. And so he says he wasn't already perfect, but he says, verse 12, reading on, I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. All right, let's back up a few pages again to Galatians. Galatians. Here is what I think he's making reference to in Philippians. Galatians chapter 1, and dropping down again, if you will, to verse 15. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. Here in verse 14, of course, as we read a program or two back, he was that religious Pharisee, keeping the traditions of the fathers. Now verse 15, but when it pleased God, the sovereign God, who's in control of every life, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb. So when did God already put the finger on the Apostle Paul? In the womb. Before he was ever born. And he called me by his what? By his grace. Saul of Tarsus didn't deserve what he got. Saul of Tarsus didn't deserve the preeminent apostleship that he was given. But it's all of grace. But oh, I was so thrilled. Our church had a guest speaker again last Sunday morning. And he used Philippians for his text. And as he opened his sermon, he says, never forget that the one greatest man that ever lived, other than Christ himself, was the Apostle Paul. And I could just about stand up and shout, you know. Not many people feel that way. But he is. He is by far the greatest man that ever lived. Moses was great. None of the others were great. Abraham was great. But I don't think any of them can hold a candle to this man. And how he suffered for the sake of the gospel. But it all began when the Lord had his finger on him, even while he was in the womb. And then verse 16, here was what he was apprehended for. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, or the Gentile, or the non-Jewish world. And immediately, since this was now going to be his field of ministry, I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither did I go up to Jerusalem to them who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, in other words, the exact opposite direction from Jerusalem, and then returned to Damascus. So what does this all show us? That here was a man now that was not going to be the apostle of Israel, as the 12 were, but he's going to be the apostle of the Gentile world. And that's why I'm always hammering away at the authority of his apostleship. All right, let's go all the way up to Acts chapter 9. Been a long time since we taught Acts. Acts chapter 9. And this is another reference of how he was apprehended by Christ himself. He was stopped in his tracks because God had something special for the man to accomplish. So in Acts chapter 9, starting at verse 1, we'll do this as quickly as we can. Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed," see that? "As he journeyed, a sovereign God interrupted and intervened in the affairs of this man. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And then when you come on down in the chapter, he speaks to Ananias in verse 10, a Jew living in the city of Damascus. And he said, "Ananias?" And Ananias in verse 10 answers, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him, that he might receive sight." In other words, Ananias, Saul knows what's coming. And Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem as a result of his persecution. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said, Go thy way, for he," Saul of Tarsus, "is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentile." And see, Saul never forgot that. And the further he went in his ministry, the more it was confirmed. Now on your way back to Philippians, stop at Romans chapter 11, verse 13. Verse that Jerry Poole was just shook up years back, and he said, "I never knew this was in my Bible." He said, "You keep telling people." Well, I have ever since. Over and over, I point this verse out. Romans 11, verse 13. Romans 11, verse 13. All got it? I don't want to go too fast. He says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles." See how plain that is? And he doesn't include the 12. He is the apostle of the Gentiles. All right, come on back to chapter 16, still in Romans. Romans 16, verse 25. And these are all verses that just, again, affirm his authority as the apostle for this church age, or the age of grace, or the age of the Gentiles. Romans 16, verse 25, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to," what's the next word? "My gospel." See? "According to my gospel." And Paul's gospel is the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, or a secret, which was kept secret, how long? Since the age began, or since Adam was created. This gospel that Paul is preaching to the Gentiles was unheard of throughout all of human history. The Jews had no comprehension that God would save Gentiles without making them proselytes of Judaism. And so then over and over, I have to make comment of the fact that this man, was apprehended. Now you can come back to Philippians. I was going to look at a couple more in 1 Corinthians, but I won't take time. We're already halfway through. All right, but Philippians again. Chapter 3. So he was apprehended to be the apostle of the Gentile world. And that's why I'm always putting the church age in parenthesis on the board. And that in that parenthetical period of time, the doctrines for this age come only from Romans through Philemon. All the rest of Scripture is for us. We teach it. We believe it. We trust it. But when it comes to basic doctrines for us today, you have to go to Romans through Philemon. You start dabbling in the rest, you're going to get confused. And you start mixing these things, and it just won't make sense. But you keep them separate, and it all fits. All right, back to Philippians 3. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. You know what he's saying? I didn't have a thing to do with my being stricken on the road to Damascus. That wasn't my doing. I wasn't out there looking for God. I wasn't out there looking. But the Lord apprehended him. And you know, it's the same way today. Again, let's look at John's Gospel, chapter 3. And while you're looking for that, just stop and think. When Adam and Eve sinned and sowed fig leaves, did they go down the trail yelling, "Lord, where are you?" What'd they do? They went and hid. See? They weren't looking for God. That was the last one they wanted to see. All right, now look exactly what John tells us. John's Gospel, chapter 3, and it's the Lord Himself speaking. Dropping down to verse 19 and 20. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, from the lips of the Lord Himself. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil, and remember, that's every non-believer, whether they want to admit it or not, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That's mankind's state until the light comes in. This was Saul of Tarsus. He wasn't really seeking the light. He was trying to stamp out something that he thought was in contrariness to the light, but he wasn't really seeking the light. His religion had no light. And so it's no different today. For the most part, people do not seek the light of the truth. Most people will say, "Leave me alone. I'm comfortable. I'm getting along." And oh, one day they're going to wish somebody would have prevailed upon them. But nevertheless, mankind does not apprehend the light of their own volition. All right? Verse 13 again of Philippians 3. Back to Philippians 3. Verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." What's the next word? Forgetting. Forgetting. Can we really forget? Uh-uh. We can't forget. God can. See, when God forgave us, did He remember our past? No, that's been wiped clean. He can forget. Now, we can't. It's there. But we don't have to let those past things control our present. In fact, as I was looking at this last night, I couldn't help but get the thought, you know, this is almost psychology 101. Isn't it? This is just good psychology. How in the world can you be a happy, productive person if you're constantly wallowing in the sorrow of past mistakes? Mistakes. That reminds me of a little anecdote I read years and years ago. This young man was working under this rather harsh taskmaster. And the boss was just really chewing him out one day. And he said, well, boss, he said, tell me, why don't you ever make mistakes? You've heard it, haven't you? And he said, experience. Well, he says, how did you get experience? Mistakes. See? And that's exactly the way it works. We're going to make mistakes. And if we learn from them, hey, that's good psychology. That's what our mistakes are for, is that we learn from that experience and we become adept at these. But to wallow in the sorrow and the misgivings of past mistakes, hey, you'll never amount to hill of beans. And so the Apostle Paul is right on when he says, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, don't think for a minute that he forgot the horrible persecution that he brought on those Jewish believers. We know he did, because he said, I wasted the church. And it did. It plagued the poor man all through his ministry. But he didn't let it stop him from being a productive apostle. He did not let it drive him into a mental disarray. And so he says, by inspiration, of course, first and foremost, but also with all the truth of a human being, forgetting those things which are behind. You can't change it. There's no use worrying about it or fretting. We all make mistakes, some of them greater than others. But listen, you don't correct them by stewing over them. You don't change the situation. You go on, and like I said earlier, you learn from those mistakes, and that's exactly what he's saying here. Forget those things which are behind. Reach forth unto those things which are before. Now when you come on in the verse 14, like Paul does so often in these letters, what's he alluding to? The Olympics. See, the races. And so again, he throws us the image of those runners going down the track. And he says, I press toward the mark. Now, one Greek dictionary that I had used this word press as leaning forward, as the runner of the race will do, especially at the end of the race when the tape is just in front. What do? Boy, they stretch their torso out as far as they can to hit the tape first. And that's the analogy that he is drawing. There's no lackadaisical running here. This is full speed ahead. And so he says, I press. I'm just leaning forward toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What greater prize could we work for? Now, he's not talking about salvation. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about the rewards that will be waiting for him. Well, we could go into 1 Corinthians 3, but we won't take time for that. I'd like to at least finish this chapter, and we got a lot of material in here yet. Verse 15, let us, therefore, because of the picture that he has just drawn of the Olympic runners putting everything into their race. Where is it? 1 Corinthians? Let's go back. 1 Corinthians. My goodness, we got to look at these things. 1 Corinthians. Hope I can find it. Uh-oh. I think I missed it. It's got to be in Corinthians where he uses the analogy of the Olympic runners. And, oh boy, I bet I missed it. But he says it so, yeah, here it is, chapter 9, 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, dropping down to verse 24, honey. 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 24. All got it? Know you not that they who run in a race all run, but one receiveth the what? The prize. So run, that is the race of your Christian life then, so run that you what? You win the prize, the reward. We don't know what it's going to be. But we know there's going to be rewards that we just can't fathom because of our running the Christian life. See? And so he says in verse 25, another analogy to the Olympic runners. Every man that striveth or trains or practices for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now that word temperate to me is a key word for Christian living. Temperate. That means maintain a balance. You don't go flip-flopping from way over here to way over here, but we maintain a balance. And so he says, even in their training, they did not train so hard that they decimated their body. But on the other hand, they weren't so careless that they were out of shape by the time the race came. But they played it temperately, and they were ready when the race day came. Now, he says, they did it to obtain a corruptible crown. Usually, the Olympics was just a wreath, all dried up and good for nothing but putting between the pages of a book when they got home. But he says, that's not yours. We will win an incorruptible crown. And then verse 26, therefore I so run. Not for salvation, but for what? Reward. Now, a lot of people don't like that concept, but it's Pauline. Once we're saved, we're to run, we're to work, we're to strive, we're to do everything we possibly can to win the prize in the high calling of Christ Jesus. All right, reading on in 1 Corinthians just for a moment. So he says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, and so I fight, not as one that beats the air, or shadow boxing, I guess we'd call it, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached others, I myself should be a castaway or put on the shelf, because it actually, I think the terminology is a cracked pot in the potter's business. If they had a beautiful pot that they'd put a lot of work into, and it was too pretty to just throw out on the ash heap, they would put it on a separate shelf to be sold as simply a vase of, what's the word I'm looking for? To decorate. Yeah, to decorate. It wasn't useful for holding liquid or anything like that. It was a cracked pot. And that's what Paul is saying. I don't want to end up on the shelf as a cracked pot. See? And that should be our attitude. I don't want to be set aside as no longer useful. We want to be that which can be used day in and day out. Okay, back to Philippians. Quickly. Only got a couple minutes left. Philippians, chapter 3 again. Verse 15. So let us therefore, as believers, as many as be, now the word perfect in the King James does not mean sinless perfection, but it means a maturity as a result of growth. Growing in grace and knowledge, as I mentioned a moment ago, that brings us to a spiritual maturity. And so be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, in other words, other than growing in our grace and knowledge, God shall reveal even this unto you. In other words, when we start having hang-ups that are not in God's good purposes, He'll show them to us. He'll reveal them to us. And so he says, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I'm in the wrong verse. Verse 15. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Now verse 16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Now, all that is really saying is that once we've entered into a salvation experience, we're a child of God, we're a member of the body of Christ, we're to be a testimony of His grace. And we're not to be out there causing turmoil and dissension and so forth. But we walk by the same rule.
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.